Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, did you know the Lakers traded away a young Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, apparently that's what happened. Man, that kid is balling out.
Yeah, it's funny. I think NBA Twitter is kind of waiting for Lakers Twitter to kind of turn heel and rip Ingram for no reason, right? I guess the thing that they would like to hear from us is something along the lines of like, oh, now you start playing like this, right? Mm-hmm. But I think overwhelmingly, if not just completely, like nobody has gone against the grain here. Everybody in Lakers Twitter that I follow, yeah, at least, is just happy for the kid.
I mean, there's no reason to not like him. He always played hard.
Yeah.
He got injured. Watching him shoot a completely different shot profile is remarkably frustrating. With like, why was he taking all of the mid-range jumpers with us, and why wasn't he tripled his three-point rate, right?
Yeah.
And this is it's just math, right? It's a key and a three and key league. Now, it's great to have that, and it's certainly valuable to have those mid-range shots. And sometimes
the shot
those
he are, hit tonight to win the game was a mid-range right. shot.
Or that would have won the game if they didn't make that.
Overtime didn't happen.
Yeah, that was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And so it's great to have that in your bag for sure. But the vast majority of your shots should be from right in front of the basket or behind the three-point arc to get that extra point. And the Lakers under Luke Walton never emphasized that. And yeah. So seeing him just taking different shots. And dude, he's made like a 20% jump in free throw percentage from year to year. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen that happen. Like with the type of guy that is his type of player where he gets a lot more volume. And when you see it happen, it's like, oh, DeAndre Jordan went from like 48% to 71%, right? Like Ingram's one of the best free throw shooters in the league,
right,
after never shooting 70% from the free throw line with us, right? So there's obviously mechanical things that he's really worked on and improved to get to this point. But Laker fans have like no reason to dislike Ingram. He played hard for us.
Yeah, I never had a problem with Ingram's approach ever. I think some of his mental approach, like in terms of what he actually focused on, is you know, there was a flaw there. And you know, the conversation right now actually is kind of funny. I spent a lot of time on Twitter today because we were traveling. We spent the whole day traveling. And so like while I was up in the air, I couldn't help but kind of check out on Twitter and notice now the Lakers were talked about. They lost the game to Boston, so now everybody, what's wrong with the Lakers? Is LeBron asked to do too much if Anthony Davis isn't healthy? Mm-hmm. Like, man, you guys are way too predictable. But anyway, the other thing that has been kind of the criticism levied against the Lakers, because there hasn't been much to criticize otherwise, has been, well, what the hell was going on there with Ingram? How is he this much better now than he was last year? And I think the common retorts, and by the way, we're going to talk about this. I am really interested. It's a multi-leveled conversation here with Ingram. And then Pete and I kind of touched on something in yesterday's show about analytics in sports. And right when we went to the break, I told him, dude, I could have that conversation for hours. So we aren't going to do it for hours, but we are going to open up on that conversation in the second half of this show. But to get back to Ingram here, I think on one hand, you can say natural progression, and some of what the Lakers saw right before the blood clot was kind of the progression to where he was going now. Now, he obviously took a leap. Obviously, he's a much, much better player. And I think, tell me if this is too harsh or lacks nuance to too great an extent. I think the Lakers did a fantastic job of identifying talent, but a pretty poor job of actually developing said talent. And I think Ingram is kind of the nth degree example of that.
Well, Ingram got better with us, man. Like
he did. He started to get better.
He certainly made a leap. I mean, when he came into the league, so I have a bet, which I'm going to lose with Darius, that this was very early on in Brandon Ingram's career. And Ingram was like, look, he was always this guy with this crazy wingspan and ball handling ability. And so when you were able to combine those two things, that's a really like kind of golden combination in basketball, in that you can get your own shot and you have these physical attributes to where people cannot bother it if you execute the fundamentals of how to get into your shot between your footwork, your gather, all of the technical aspects that go into the skill set of basketball. When Brandon Ingram was a rookie, and he learned this in his first year, he was not able to jump off of 1 foot smoothly. He would jump stop and jump off of 2 feet on his gather and go up and try to finish around the rim. And as a result, that eliminates that split second advantage that you have on certain plays. Sometimes you want to jump stop and go up off of two for stability and strength and power. But a lot of times
Stu Lance just threw something in your general direction.
But on layups, if you're driving to the basket, you cannot stop because the guy that's like chasing you, it gives him time to catch up. So Ingram was so behind on so many of the fundamental aspects of the skill aspects of basketball, while having some like ball handling talent and obviously this crazy wingspan and all of that, that he had so far to go with the skill stuff. It was like, is this guy going to be like, yes, he's super young. Is he going to be able to traverse, to learn all of these little things, these tiny steps along the way to harnessing that actual talent? And so many guys fall by the wayside in the process of that. Like, you remember Darius Miles, you know, even Lamar was a guy who's not too different as a veteran than he was as a rookie. Like, he was, he could have been, you know, something really special in that
era.
As
you hate Lamar Odom.
Oh, stop it.
Good Lord. So we got Powell, Lamar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much, it's just my Kobe stand-em, right? Like, it's all in service of that. I got to knock everybody else, apparently. No, I don't believe that at all. All I'm saying is I remember Lamar Odom in high school and at Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And he did not like, he did not build upon what he had. Brandon Ingram is so much better than he was before. But not all of that happened this year. A good portion of that happened in games. And this is one thing that he benefits from. It's a little bit like, this wouldn't be happening here, not just because of touches, but I watch a lot of Pelicans games and I'm like, this is such a dead game. Like, there's no energy there. There's no pressure right now. This game went to overtime. It was close and all that, but the vast majority of these games are very pickup ball.
They've had a very sad season.
Yeah, it's been a very sad season for sure. And it's certainly, having all of those guys as Lakers having a sad season is like, oh, this is like Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah,
type, like, oh, Laker season. Don't miss this, right? But on an individual level, like, I think he's got some things that he needs to learn to help his team win more, I think. But he's a significantly better passer. And he's like, he has picked up all of those things along the way to traverse all of that territory from where he was as a baby at 18 to where he is now as a guy who's, you know, flirting with the All-Star game.
Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and they will match half of your initial deposit up to $1,000. So if you input $2,000 into their application, they will give you an extra $1,000 to be able to play with. As we are, we brought back the segment here, the sponsored segment, the MyBookie bet of the day. So far, I'm looking through the games, and you have Minnesota against Indiana. That's the game that I kind of have circled for myself. Indiana right now, as I'm reading this, is a -8.5 point favorite, or an 8.5 point favorite. So I think, you know, Minnesota just traded away Jeff Teague. They are going to open up more minutes for a group that, you know, makes a little bit more sense, I think, at this point. I think they're going to be able to cover that game. So if you have some money in MyBookie, that's where I would consider placing it. MyBookie is the best place to be able to place your bets, whatever they might be, and get your money out as quickly as possible. That's the entire purpose here. So again, head on over to mybookie.ag, use the promo code LockedOnNBA, and if you use that promo code, they will match your deposit, half of your deposit, up to $1,000. Again, that's mybookie.ag, use promo code LockedOnNBA. You play, you win, you get paid. Today's show is also brought to you in part by the Arizona Board of Tourism. Spring training is right around the corner. You guys have heard me talk about that a ton. But if you aren't into baseball, even if you aren't into golf, even if you just go into Arizona, just check out what they have to offer. They got great hiking. They got hot air balloon tours. If you don't feel like walking around, that would certainly appeal to me. You got great food. You got ghost towns. You got everything that you could possibly look for in a vacation. So check out visitarizona.com/springtraining. Again, the spring training is kind of the central theme here, but they have something for any kind of group of people, or if it's just yourself taking a trip by yourself to get away, they have everything you might be looking for. So again, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining. visitarizona.com/springtraining.
He's going to get a max.
Oh, yeah. That was no question.
He's going to get a max. And that's going to be funny to see.
If Jamal Murray gets a max contract, then yes, Brandon Ingram is getting a max contract.
Yeah. Although I think they immediately regretted Murray's. That one's going to sting for a little bit. Here's where I think there is fair criticism to be levied against the Lakers and the way that they develop players. Mm-hmm. And I think it's why we have seen Ingram become the player that he is. Like, I think he actually would have fit with the Lakers culture, with how they develop players fairly well. But the Lakers are pretty hands off. They basically just say, you know what? If you're going to make it, you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. There's the deep end. Here's a couple sharks. Have fun. Leave the floaties out here. Have fun. Let's see how you kind of develop. And I think for some players, you can do that. Like with Kobe, you could do that. He was going to work his ass off. He was going to figure it out. I think here with Ingram, I think you're seeing to a certain extent too that like he was started developing because he worked his ass off. He had no problem working. And I think it's why we kind of saw Lonzo kind of stuck in the mud. I think we kind of saw Russell. I think Russell eventually was going to get it, but I think he had the wake-up call by being shipped off to Brooklyn that really helped him. I would have been interested to see how Randall would have handled things if he stuck around in L.A., but that bridge was burned pretty early on in his career. Ingram, though, I think he is that kind of player who will hold himself accountable and will go out and work to be able to make the strides that he's taken this year. So I don't think it's fair to say that he wouldn't have done what he's doing right now with the Lakers, though I do think their approach to developing the Lakers is the way you want to go about it.
Right. No, I agree with that. But, dude, there's no way he'd be doing what he was doing with the Lakers, what he's doing now with the Pelicans.
Yeah, counting stats and opportunities-wise, sure. But I think eventually he was going to develop into a good NBA player with the Lakers. Oh,
for sure, but that's a different thing. Like juxtapose this with Kyle Kuzma, who vacillates between like, oh, hey, that's the scorer that we're used to, and that guy pisses me off, right?
Yeah.
And like, Ingram is the man in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He gets all of the touches, all of the big shots, all of the playing time. Kyle Kuzma wasn't in the game of a close game where we were closing with Troy Daniels and Quinn Cook.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's the difference of being asked like, hey, do this 8 to 10 times a game, as opposed to 22 to 25 times per game, have this opportunity to score. We saw that when he was getting a lot of those touches in Dallas, in OKC, we know what type of scorer Kuz is, but getting like first or second option touches on a 35 win team is like, you're not getting that with LeBron James and or Anthony Davis. Like, well, you're not like, Brandon's too young. It's not, nothing wrong with Brandon, right? Like, no real 22-year-old can do what he's doing now on a championship type of team, except for the legends, right? The LeBrons, the Kobe's, those
types. I think we can also point out, though, that Ingram is a vastly better player than Kuzma, just overall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's at this point, that's not even a debate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting what if. It doesn't matter. I do think I have really enjoyed the response from, like, I'm not going to tell anybody how to fan. I hate the people who do that. I think it's a real problem with some of the sports coverage out there. But I have really liked that Lakers fans all over my timeline are just really happy for what Ingram has been able to do this year. That has been really cool to watch. It's I can't help but like turn on a late night Pelicans game because I want to see these guys succeed. And you know, I think Ingram deserves all the credit in the world. And I do think it's kind of a waste of a talking point to link him back to the Lakers at this point. It happened. He got traded. He became the player that he is. Move on. The Lakers have moved on. It like what it turns that trade into is a win-win for both teams. The Pelicans got a franchise player in Brandon Ingram. The Lakers got Anthony Davis. The Pelicans now, you know, happen to get had we known that Ingram was going to turn into this, I would hope that the Lakers didn't have to offer so many draft picks and maybe every single young player that they had. But that doesn't matter anymore. He is where he is. The Lakers are where they are. And I can't wait to see what how he looks alongside Zion, because that's when we're going to get to really, you know, start to see.
Yeah.
That's that. All right. How does Ingram fit in on a team where he doesn't have the world as his oyster?
Yeah, no, that's going to be, but I mean, bro, he's 22, he's putting up 25 a game.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it would have been difficult to happen here, but yeah, I do think there's fair criticisms to levy upon the Lakers for like the development aspects of it. I also think that there are different factors. Like, you cannot develop quietly. Like Markelle Fultz getting traded to Orlando, best thing that could have happened to that dude.
Yeah.
Right. Now, BI is a lot mentally tougher. Like he did not have that type of thing to go through, but this type of thing for a young player, like he's in a perfect spot. If he can do it next to Zion, that's the next test.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're gonna have a conversation here that isn't Lakers specific. It's very kind of deep basketball, so we're just going to see where that conversation takes us. It's about analytics. It's about evaluation of basketball, what we look for in the evaluation of basketball, what we look for in sports in general. I'm really looking forward to where this conversation could take us. So basically the gist of the brief, like the tip of the iceberg that we scratched last night was basically an almost religious type of conversation here regarding sports. You were talking
really?
About, yeah, well, because like you now, I might be taking it a little too far in calling it religious, but I think it's a very, you know, worldview-esque type of conversation that we're going to have here where and correct me if I misunderstood what you were saying, but you would like to eventually get to a point where we can statistically define and understand everything about basketball or sports.
Yeah, I mean, that is that doable? I don't know. Like, we're a long way away in basketball for sure, but I do think that fundamentally speaking, that you can, like, every factor, if a shooter is going left versus moving right, if they're catching and shooting versus pulling up off of the dribble, if their defender's attached to their off-ball shoulder or not, like all of these different things, there are, you know, probably couple hundred different factors on any given play on that impact percentages a little bit one way or another, but that can, you know, predict likelihoods. We see some graphics that kind of and some second spectrum stuff that will predict, like, oh, he's at this point, it's a 42% shot, but he drives two more dribbles and now it's a 53% shot. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. I do think that that's possible. I think it's also very complex and we're nowhere close to doing it.
I don't want to get there.
Yeah, I know.
I like the fact that there are some things about sports. Now, the stuff that you're talking about, you know, where you're breaking down versions of the play and iterations of a play and iterations to attacking the basket and stuff like that, I'm all right with that. But I hope that, like, we are never able to define momentum and the hot hand and stuff like that, like clutch, right? Clutchness and those kind of intangible things that we know exist, but can't quite put our fingers on how to define them. Stuff like that, I don't ever want to touch that with stats. I like the idea that there's just some stuff out there we are never going to understand. And like, frankly, I think it's kind of a problem that the NBA has kind of worked itself into. On one hand, it's nice that in any given year, we can look at the champion team and for the most part say that was the best team that year. Last year was a bit of a fluke, right? Because you had Kevin Durant get injuries, hurt and then Klay Thompson get hurt or whatever. But for the most part, at least compared to other sports,
the best team wins.
Basketball's best team, the NBA's best team wins, right? Not basketball in general because March Madness is such a shit show and everything.
Sure.
But the NBA, like, that is what you know is going on there. And I think to a certain extent that has actually hurt the league because if you're able to predict who's going to win at the end of the year, then what's the point of playing that year? Now the journey matters and stuff like that, but I think a lot of casual fans now are saying, well, if we kind of have an idea of who's going to win and then that team usually winds up winning, then why should I care about my team if it isn't that team? If it isn't at the very least, at best, one of the top three teams, right? And I think if we get too far to where we're able to define everything statistically, we'll get to that point where, well, where's the fun in analyzing and watching sports if we are able to understand exactly why everything happened the way it happened on the court as it happened?
Well, I think there's always a natural push and pull because what basketball is always being pushed forward and defined slightly differently. So it's kind of like this impossible goal in that defining every action on the court, like new things will pop up. We will get like basketball in 20 years will be better than the basketball that's being played right now. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. And the very nature of the sport has always been conducive to the same team winning over and over and over again. Like you started out, we started out the NBA, you had the BAA the first 3 years between 1946 and 1949. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Warriors, the Baltimore Bullets, and the Minneapolis Lakers won the BAA titles. Then the first NBA year was 1949-50. Minneapolis Lakers won. Rochester Royals won. Minneapolis Lakers won three straight. What happened not too long after that? The Celtics dynasty with Bill Russell and Red Auerbach and all of that. The Jordan Bulls, the Showtime Lakers, the Golden State Warriors. It's not unusual throughout NBA history to have that whole thing you're describing isn't new, I guess is my point. No, yeah, right?
I'm not saying it is. That's
always just been the nature of basketball that, yeah, you kind of have an idea early on who's got a shot at least.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a new phenomenon by any stretch, but I do think we are, you know, fans are more aware of it than they perhaps have been.
That's true.
And I think that has kind of hurt. Like, I look, the conversation, and we've reached a point now where it's a pretty dark conversation about the state of the NBA right now. It's everybody coming up for reasons why ratings are down or why something is one way or the other. But I do think the idea that there are a lot of casual fans out there who are saying, well, fuck it. Why do I care about this season if my team isn't one of at least the top three teams that has a chance at winning it?
But that's part of the problem. The biggest reason why ratings are down is because so few people in media coverage focus on what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. Like the Bucks are freaking amazing, mm-hmm. right? And their fan base, rightfully so, is up in arms that every time that you know you turn on the TV and if they're talking about the Bucks, it's about Giannis's free agency 2 summers from now.
Yeah,
it's not even a free agent. This summer.
We're going to go through this again next year.
Right. And it's because nobody's focusing on what happened in tonight's game. This is the whole concept of what I do with LFR, right? Like I pontificate and we record podcasts here. I record other podcasts and I give my opinion. That's great. But the core of it is like what happened in this game tonight. And I always wish that I'm working to grow LFR to this point, but there were like 10 different stories in every game. Mm-hmm. And then other stories that happen over the course of multiple games or the whole season or halfway through a season or whatever, where it's like, it's these storylines like Kyle Kuzma is learning how to play basketball. the in a winning way right now, right? And mixed results, right? But that is a story, right? Like that is something.
It's and a that's process and unto itself. Yeah,
it is. And there's like there's interesting parts of it. It's like, oh, hey, his rotations on defense and all the, and his passing ability. That moment that he had with JaVale, where 2 games ago he screwed up the lob that he was supposed to throw, and JaVale was like, "What the hell? Why didn't you throw that pass?" And then the very next game, the same play happens, and Kuz makes the pass. JaVale dunks it. Then they like share this moment where they high five, and it was kind of this like
After school, like super corny high five.
It was so corny. It was great, right?
Yeah,
and like that's fun. If you're a fan of a team, like watching your guys get better or watching just this little moment of progress, that should be its own segment on any on Lakers coverage, right?
Yeah.
Or for the Milwaukee Bucks
team specific coverage, especially. I agree.
Right. Right. And so there, and that's where I think a lot of the now coverage can come from. But if you look, think about it this way, when you watch Inside the NBA or ESPN, what is it? NBA Countdown. Is that the name of the show? Mm-hmm. All of these shows are about like kind of these big picture things that aren't really about that. It becomes like
the same show every episode.
Right. Because it's not about what's new, is what's happening that night.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how many times can you talk about Giannis's free agency in 2 years?
And like, ESPN's going to find out.
And how many different ways can you do it? Right.
Yeah.
What's interesting and what's new and what has, it's this rich, fertile soil for all of these storylines is what's happening in the game tonight. And since nobody's paying attention to that, the fans receive the message that, well, the game doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about it, so why should I watch it? It doesn't matter. So I that's not to say every other theory on why ratings are down is wrong. I just think that that's really under discussed, is that we're not covering what's happening actually in the games. And that's what's happening now.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I agree also that it is the biggest problem. Here's the way that I was actually going to kind of my angle towards this conversation, and I was going to go so far as to say that ESPN, TNT, those corporate partners, like if I was the NBA, I would sue. They're they're failing the league. They really are. Like with the way that you look at something as simple as the color analyst that you have out there, the color commentator out there, right? Everybody, every TNT game, it's God, Chris Webber sucks. Oh. Reggie Miller's even worse, right? Jeff Van Gundy spends the entire effing game whining about something. Out there trying to get any job that comes available. And you kind of compare that to Tony Romo. And I know you aren't an NFL guy anymore, but you watch a game that Tony Romo is calling, and he loves the sport. There is no, like, the way the game is played now is different than it was than when I played, and therefore it is bad. You don't get that at all. He celebrates the sport. And I'm not saying he's got to be rah-rah guy or whatever, because there are some problems. Like, baseball is facing a problem with how teams are playing the sport. And I think the old guys who point that out are fair to point that out. But that can't be the entire point of every single call. That can't be what you do. And I think the way I was going to kind of phrase this with ESPN specifically, they signed, like, a 25-year multi-billion-dollar TV deal with the NBA. If there would be any entity that would be invested in the long-term well-being of the league, it would be ESPN, right? Mm-hmm. But they covered the sport in such a short-minded view of it. It is just SEO, baby. That's it. It is just, how can we get trade rumors in our headlines?
Can you explain to people, like, this is, can you explain to people what SEO is and just like the whole concept of it?
Yeah. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. And what that means is when you type into Google or whatever search platform that you use, there are always certain keywords that more people Google or search more than other words, right? NBA trade rumors is a big one. Lakers trade rumors is a big one. Kobe Bryant is a big one. LeBron James is a big one, right? And you kind of go on through there. And so Harrison and I always have a blast kind of messaging back and forth, talking about what would be the most SEO headline of the day, right? So it's like Kanye West chimes in on Kobe Bryant's take that LeBron James should be traded
So Kim Kardashian
Right. And but like if ESPN could get those names into their coverage of the NBA, they would. And And that's, I think, a real bummer because, and look, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not, I think there are a lot of really talented people involved with ESPN. Rachel Nichols and I had a back and forth on Twitter about this the other day. And it was just basically like, I wish that they invested more, like, because what you're talking about, the Kyle Kuzma angle specifically, right? That's a process. That is something that is going to take a long time to cover, and it might not even bear fruit at the end of it.
Right, but that's the thing, is it's a story with an undetermined ending.
Yes.
And that's part of what's interesting about it, is like, is he going to get it?
Right, but yeah. But Kyle Kuzma learns to play basketball isn't something that people Google very often.
Sure,
and so,
sure.
So, like, that's the, and it's very short-sighted, it's very short-minded, and I really wish, you know, when we talk about what's the number one problem facing the NBA right now? It's that. It's the coverage of it. It's that there is no investment into the health of the sport. There's investment. The idea here is that there's investment into the health of the league, and that buzz generates health for the league. But the sport is all that matters here. The like, otherwise people just watch pro wrestling, right? That's what they want to turn basketball or the NBA into, but. Like, every single year, March Madness is this thing that millions of people flock to, and it is just because it is basketball, and there's an undetermined ending at the end of it, and nobody has any idea how that thing is going to go, but it's just basketball. You don't know the names of most of the players, even. You learn them over the course of the tournament, but you don't know the names of them. You don't care that, like, one player might be thinking about transferring, or a coach might be thinking about leaving, whatever. It is just basketball, and it's really too bad that TNT, ESPN, they have completely ignored this aspect of it. This is not analytically driven. I guess SEO is, but this is a huge thing that is really affecting the NBA. It's the reason our show, frankly, Pete, is as healthy as it is because it's a daily show. We are forced to, on a daily basis, find something interesting that happened the night before or the night of or whatever, and we got to talk about it. And I think people really chime into or tune into, all right, what do they find interesting here? Because there's a chance that what we find interesting is something that they do.
Right, or it's something that they didn't think of, and now it's like, oh, I'm going to watch for that. And, yeah. Like, you know, Tony Romo, you brought him up.
Yeah.
He's about to be the highest paid sports analyst in the world, right?
Or in the United States,
right? But, like, isn't that a testament to the validity of talking about the sport and, like, showing your love for the sport?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's what's awesome to me. It's not, like, it's great to have, you know, Twitter followers and engagement and SEO and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But, like, having,
yeah, I'm about the community. What's your Twitter account at now?
I don't know. But the community is amazing. I always talk about that,
yeah.
And the friendships and all of that really are meaningful to me. But, like, the main thing is the main thing, and that's the basketball. And we sit down on NBA Twitter and we watch Laker games together. Mm-hmm. And part of my value add is to point out just like these little details that you'd have to have some background in basketball to even know.
Mm-hmm.
But my job is to be like, okay, I know this thing. How do I explain it to someone who, like, was at work all day? They don't have time to watch 10 hours of basketball a day.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, keep an eye out for this, or this guy is doing this well. And, like, I always say at the end of my videos, like, that, dedicated to helping you experience the game of basketball and the Lakers on a deeper level, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it is that communication of those points. So if, like, Tony Romo can be the highest paid guy, if my platform and Locked On Lakers and us together can grow the way that it has, like, why can't, like, isn't that evidence that it's financially viable too?
Yeah.
And that this is what people want?
I hope ESPN never figures it out, because it's allowed for our little niche. it's allowed for our little corner. But yeah, no,
I've talked too much shit about Woj for them to ever hire me.
Pete, you've skipped not just talking shit about Woj, but to Woj. I've seen you at Woj. But I'm the guy who got blocked by him, so I guess I shouldn't really be giving advice here. But yeah, no, I think to kind of bring this thing full circle, I do think the league could do a little bit more to make itself a little bit less predictable in the meantime, right? And I think, you know, if I'm going to make that point, the inherent extension of that point is that I want some unpredictability with my sports. I want, and if we're allowed or if we're able to at some point analyze and predict everything because the stats and the information has risen to that point, then I don't know. I think that the game becomes a lot less interesting to me. Now, I don't think we'll ever get there, for, you know, and I'm not saying cover your eyes and ears or whatever while you're watching, and don't. I'm not here saying that I hate analytics. I think some of this stuff is very interesting. I hope that on some level, some of this stuff remains untouched forever. So I guess what I'm saying is, I enjoy analytics, and the evolution of analytics is interesting to me, but I'm rooting like hell against it. Right, like I'm rooting like hell that there are some things that we will just flat out never be able to understand.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's always the case, but that's, I mean, at one point in our history, we didn't know why the hell the earth shook. Like, just like every once in a while, be like, what the hell? I guess that's the gods, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so part of the human experience is forever striving for knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be wonder and amazement. Like, I'm always striving to learn more about basketball, but I can be like, damn, did you see that dunk JaVale McGee had on Terrence Ross last night? That was amazing. Like, you don't need to know crap about basketball. No, that was awesome, you know? And so I think there's room for both, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's usually, the truth usually lies in the middle somewhere. This was fun. This wasn't, you know, your typical Lakers podcast. I think the Lakers came up like for a few minutes at the very beginning of it. But when we have the random off day or whatever, heading into the weekend, I like to open it up a little bit. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you did, that's a lot of what I'm doing or what I'm going to be doing on Patreon. I offer a ton of Lakers coverage, obviously, but if you're interested in that stuff, check that out. Have a great rest of your weekend. I will be back again Monday. Tuesday recording might be a little iffy. Wednesday might be a little iffy because of traveling and stuff. But overall, I promise if I'm going to miss a show or something like that, I will let you know well in advance. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you on Monday.